Oh, praise be to God. Y'all have a treat today. Jason and Christy Burton from Virginia are with us, and they've been tuning up, and it's been just a joy just listening to them tune up. So we've been shuffling mics around here to get them in the right position, and I think we're ready, hopefully. So I'm just going to let them take over. God bless you, Jason.
Thank you, David. It's a joy to be here, a pleasure. We've looked forward to coming down for a while, and the Lord finally enabled us, and we had an open date in February, and so we've been sharing with some of the folks here in the ministry today and yesterday, and we're excited to be here tonight and to play some music for you and hopefully encourage you with some testimonies. We've just been married for a year, and it feels like I was going to say a lot longer, but no, it doesn't. We've just been married for a year, and we got married in January of last year, and just a very neat story about how we met and how the Lord put us together. But before we do, we're going to play a couple songs and just join us in worship of the Lord tonight, wherever you are. And this is a song of God's faithfulness to His people called "The Lord Remembers Us."
Their victories confound us. Where are you, O God? It seems the sky is falling. Can you hear us calling? Where are you, O God? But the Lord remains.
Small and great, you
Well, that was I've been writing songs since I was about 12 or 13 years old. I remember being in school, went to Christian school most of my life, was homeschooled my last year, and getting in trouble, of course, and sitting in detention and writing songs. That's how I got my start writing songs. And as the Lord has dealt with me over lots of things over the past few years, He has continued to give me the ability to write and write music for His glory. And, last year I had the, actually in 2007, I had the opportunity to go up to the Pentagon for a memorial service they had for those that lost their lives on 9/11. And just as an interesting reminder to me how far we've come as a nation, before I actually got there, I was given an email by those who were conducting the ceremony, and they said, we know that you do Christian music and we're fine with that, but if you could make your music, the songs that you choose, as inoffensive as possible to those of other religions, because this is going to be a multi-faith service attended by Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And so the Jewish cleric and the Islamic cleric, they both read out of their books, and the Christian pastor did the same thing. And I thought for a long time about which songs to play for that ceremony, and prayed about it. And I just felt led to play the previous song about the Lord's faithfulness to His people, but then as well to play a song about trusting in the arm of the Lord versus trusting in the arm of the flesh. And that's one thing. I've been listening to this Bible study for 5-6 years now, and that's one thing that's been hammered through to me, is that we are commanded in Scripture to trust in the Lord and the Lord only, and He is faithful. And those that do trust in things that they can see with their eyes and that appease the flesh, they are eventually going to fail them. So this is a song I wrote, taken from Psalm chapter 33. That's actually the title of the song. And I sang this at that service, and prayed the Lord would use it to minister to people. So I'll play it for you now. Our King. I don't know whether they were too thrilled to hear that day, but it's what the Lord led me to sing. And, you know, just to give you a little bit of background about who I am and my wife, Christy, I'm from Virginia, where it's just about as cool as it is here in Florida now. Thought we were going to get down here and see some warm weather, but it's been pretty cool so far in Pensacola. And Christy is from South Dakota, so you can imagine it's very cold there. So I started doing Christian music with my sister back in 1998-1999, and we traveled around to churches in the area and began writing music, and the Lord was with us, and we put out a couple CDs and had a couple of songs that we released to Christian radio, and they did fairly well and enabled us to travel basically the country and share in churches and minister. And the Lord did use us for quite a few years. And then, you know, the enemy came in and really took our eyes off of what the reason behind what we were doing. And as well, I got involved in several areas of my life and in willful disobedience against the Lord. And the Lord warned and warned and warned. And I didn't heed his warnings. And so the ministry that we had was gradually taken away to humble me, I am sure, and lead me back to a place where I desired God above everything. And it was a humbling experience. You know, and the word is true that God chastens those that he loves. Just, you know, I want to be real honest with you tonight and be transparent with you. You know, there were several areas of my life where the Lord had to deal with me over things that I had gotten involved in, gambling, lust, things of that nature. And one thing in particular, the phenomenon that kind of swept the nation 5-6 years ago, poker all over the country. I got involved in that and wasted lots of money and tremendously hurt a lot of people. And the Lord warned me over and over and from other people and as well as from dreams and visions. And he did something for me that I didn't even know was in the Bible at the time. You know, I grew up in a Christian family and went to church, as so many people do. But as far as really studying the Word and knowing who God was and what He expected and all of those things, I really didn't do it much. And the Lord was gracious with me for a while and still is. But I found something in the book of Job after He had given me several dreams. And I woke up the morning following the dreams, this is several years ago, absolutely scared to death of what the Lord was going to allow to happen to me because I refused to listen to his warnings about this gambling thing. And it was just something that I in my own flesh could not overcome. And I was willfully, you know, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I thought maybe I was not hearing from God. I made every excuse I could to continue in this vice of the flesh that I loved. And I'm going to read you something from the book of Job, which is really interesting. You know, everyone says that Job was a guy that suffered, and he did nothing wrong to bring that suffering. And there was nothing wrong with Job. Job was a good guy. And he spent several chapters in talking up his righteousness and how good he was. And finally, the fourth guy that came to speak to Job spoke to him in chapter 33 and said, "So Job, please hear my speech. Listen to all my words. Look, I'm opening my mouth. The words are on the tip of my tongue. I will say exactly what is on my mind. What my lips know, they will speak sincerely. It is the Spirit of God that made me, the breath of the Lord that gives me life. So refute me if you can. Organize your words. Take your stand. Look, before God, I'm the same as you. I, too, am fashioned from clay. You don't need to be afraid of me. My pressure on you will not be heavy. You spoke within my hearing, and I heard what you said. I am clean, without transgression. I am innocent, not guilty. Yet God finds pretext for accusing me. He regards me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks and watches wherever I go. But in this you are wrong. I will answer you. God is greater than any mortal. Why do you strive against him? He will not defend his words. God speaks once, even twice, and still the hearer misses the point. In a dream, in a vision at night when slumber falls upon people, as they sleep in their beds, he opens people's ears and seals the matter with a warning to turn a person away from his action and protect a man from pride, so that he will keep himself away from the pit and from perishing by the sword. He is also warned by pain when in bed, when all of his bones are hurting, so that he detests bread as well as richer food. His flesh wastes away till one can't stand to look. His bones protrude and become unsightly. His soul comes close to the pit, and his life to those who bring death. If there is for him an angel, a mediator, one among a thousand who can vouch for the man's uprightness, then God is gracious to him and says, redeem him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. The Lord gave me several dreams to warn me that I was nearing a catastrophe, and they still did not deter me from my wrongdoing. And so finally, the Lord allowed me to become very sick. I got an ear infection in both of my ears, and I won't go into all the details, but I'll suffice to say that it was, aside from suffering through a gasoline burn as a child, it was the worst pain that I can ever remember. I laid upon the couch for 4 days. It was back when I was living with my parents a few years ago. I had drainage from both ears. I couldn't hear. I felt like my entire side of both of my face, both sides of my face were going to just fall off. They hurt so bad. I was in agony for about 4 days. And after finally seeing the error of my ways because of God's chastening, I repented. And so then it was up to me to have faith that God had taken that away and that God was going to heal me and that by his stripes I was healed. And my mother, who is probably the greatest influence in my life, who believes God's word precisely as it's written, for 3 days she prayed for me. And for 3 days there was no improvement. And on the fourth day, she said, you know, if you are healed as you believe that you are and as you claim to be and as you believe what God's word says, you need to get up and start doing something and prove to God that you believe his word. So in absolute agony, I got up and started doing any menial task I could think of just to put feet to my faith because I knew that God had healed me. And sometimes it's the simplest things, you know, if you are healed, then you're going to act like you're healed and you are going to believe the word and stand on it. So I got up and started doing some things, and you have to understand, for 4 days I was popping an Advil or ibuprofen or two or three of them every couple of hours just to allow me to somehow sit there in agony because the pain was so bad. And a couple of hours after I began this small act of faith on my part, I began to notice that I hadn't taken a pill in a few hours, and the pain, while still terrible, was a little bit less severe than it was a few hours earlier. And a few hours passed after that, and I noticed that the pain wasn't quite as bad as it was a few hours before. And then my ears began to open up a little teeny bit. And the next day, I woke up in the morning, and while still in terrible pain, definitely the symptoms of an ear infection were still there, they began to lessen and lessen and lessen. And within a few days, actually I had a concert to do that very next weekend, the Lord took away enough of those symptoms and manifested the healing that he had already paid for enough to the point where I could actually do that concert. In the ensuing days, those symptoms left. And with no medication, just standing on the word of God, and looking back on it now, it's amazing to see what God did for me. Despite all of my disobedience, it took something of that nature to get me to finally submit my will to his. And from that, I wrote this song here, probably one of the most personal songs I've ever written. It's called In a Dream.
You know, Jason, I was just thinking of the justice, you know, that the Lord did there. It wasn't it interesting? It was your ears that went out.
Yeah.
The thing you were having the real problem with was the ears, you know. I remember a sister asking me one time, you know, she says, I don't know why the Lord hadn't heard my prayer and healed my ears. And the Lord just spoke to me, said, because you're not listening. You know, and I told her that. I didn't want to tell her that, but I did.
Yes.
But it was the truth, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd like to remind you out there, too, that Jason was quoting the fourth man. That's the man that God did not correct. The first three he did correct, but the fourth man was right on about Job's self-righteousness, and he needed no correction, right? Thank you.
Sure.
In a dream, in a vision in the night, when deep sleep falls on me, you did speak, and I was terrified. Woke up in tears, for my eyes did see the wickedness that I had done, the lies my heart had acted on, the songs of praise that I had sung with no meaning in my voice. Be merciful to me, O God. Turn your wrath from me, great God. Forgive me and please take your rod of punishment away. Amaze me with your grace. I have seen what angers the Lord. I have learned, and I'll turn away from sin and all of the things that anger.
when you have, it's only when you have when you see the need for God's grace, and you see yourself as a no good sinner, that you actually appreciate the gift of Jesus on the cross. You know, I spent many years knowing that Jesus died for me, knowing he died for my sins, and believing that in some abstract way. And I wanted to be good. I wanted to live a good life. I wanted to make God proud of me. But the way that I walked, even while I was in ministry, I'm still not 100% sure whether I wanted to do good or whether it was just not wanting to be punished for the wrong that I was doing. But the Lord nonetheless was gracious with me. So many times I fell. It was a long process of getting to the place where I am now, where God has cleansed me of so many things in my life, and things that are so disgusting and despicable that I hate to even think that I once was a part of those things, and things that the enemy would love for me to be a part of again. And that is why abiding in the Word and abiding in Jesus is so important. When you're not in the Word on a constant basis, and not just for 10 minutes in the morning. And you know, I've heard pastors say, you know, what part of your life do you need to add Jesus to? And you know, just make sure you spend 5 minutes in prayer and reading the Word in the morning. And you know, God appreciates that. And it's such a low key way to live out a Christian life. And I just know that the Lord deserves more. He wants more. And if we're ever going to be at the place where he wants us to be, he has conveyed to me that it's going to require spending massive amounts of time with him and opening up our hearts and spending time in the Word. And I know that the audience that we are ministering to tonight and playing for tonight is quite different than the typical audience that Christy and I play for. We do Christian music basically full time, and we travel all over the country. And 90% of the churches that we go to, 95%, would probably never appreciate, nor would they want to tune in to something like this, the audiences that we play for, just because it requires a desire to go deep with the things of God, and there's not much of a desire for that out in the church today, in the corporate church. And so I wanted to share a song. We're going to take a break in a few minutes, and but I wanted to share a tune here that I wrote. It's a brand new song. It's never been played for anybody except Christy. And she's my sounding board. But in the past few years, the Lord has been giving me songs to kind of go along with the teachings that I've been receiving and the things the Lord has been teaching me from his Word. And I want to explain this song before I sing it. And this is a song that I plan on playing in a lot of churches. And when we get back to Virginia, and as the Lord opens the doors, you know, I'm not one of those people that say if you're going to a church today, you know, that you have to leave a church body. I love fellowship, and if I lived here in Pensacola, I think I would have great fellowship with these fine folks here. But I have met very few. I have been in very few assemblies where I would feel comfortable attending, simply because of the word that's preached is so watered down, and it's not what I would consider to be the true gospel of Jesus. And there's elements of truth in it, but it's so watered down with tradition that it's hard to have faith for God to really do anything in your life, because of the falsehoods taught from a lot of pulpits across the nation. And being in that world on a weekly basis, traveling to churches, we get to see it firsthand. And you know, we are trying through the Lord's working to bring some of the truth that we have found from the Word into these churches that we go to, as gracefully as we can, while not trying to be arrogant about it, because we didn't do anything to receive this truth. The Lord just showed it to us. So this is a song I wrote called The Harlot. It's simply about the apostate church that has left the Lord and followed after other lovers. and a church that I think that I know the Lord is calling His true people out of to come and partake of the true Word of God. You know, we don't really have an excuse as quote unquote Christian people when we sit in churches and receive things that are completely opposite of what the Word says. God has given us His Word and has enabled us to read it, which is, He's commanded us to do. So this is a song I called The Harlot. So first time playing this one, so hope you appreciate this and we get it going here. Come out of her, my people. Wash your hands of her great sins. Pride and gold, riches untold, but no righteousness within. Come out and be made separate by the washing of the Word. Those who hear the call, come one, come all, sit at my feet and learn. She is one with many lovers, but the lover of her soul was turned aside for many nights with strangers. Now she's cold. Still I'm standing, arms wide open. I've been calling from afar. She won't recognize, and she's closed her eyes to the bright and morning star. Come out of her, my people. Leave the harlot where she lay. Sick and tired, bound for the fire to burn all the dross away. In judgment I will bathe her, all to turn her back to me.
And
Well, you know, just despite what we have, despite what I put God through in my disobedience, and He did something for me that truly gave me cause to sing. It gave me a reason to go back out on the road and travel and share with churches and with people in general who God is and what He's capable of doing. And this is a song here, a fast song. So if you're sitting listening to the radio or on your computer, you can clap along with us. You know, if you don't have any rhythm, it's not going to mess us up, so it'll still be good. This is a song called Taste and See That the Lord Is Good, because He is good not because we think He is, but because He says He is. And all that He does for us, including the chastising, including the persecutions that we have gone through and will go through, they are to prepare us and to get that flesh out of the way. He is good, even in the times where it doesn't look like he is. So this is a song called Taste and See. Can you keep going?
Well, sure. I'd just like to say that, you know, my life is so fast, and I don't have a lot of time to sit down and listen to music. I haven't for years, you know. But, boy, when I do, just relax and listen to the music, listen to the words, you know, it just really ministers to me. You know,
so. Praise the Lord.
It's a blessing. Thank you.
Sure. Wanted to tell you guys a little bit about, you know, I listen to this broadcast on a, we do concerts most every Sunday night, so we rarely get to listen live. And I don't know how David teaches 3 hours twice a week, but it's a lot to listen to, so we kind of break it up into different times. I have benefited so greatly from hearing so many of the testimonies written on this side and also given on the broadcast. And some of the testimonies I'm going to share with you, just from Christie's in my first year of marriage, they're not going to be quite as spectacular as some of the ones you've heard, but I hope and pray that they will nonetheless encourage you that our God is faithful. Because I know when I've gone through trials, when I've gone through tests, the Lord is gracious to those of us that are coming into the knowledge of some of these things and that haven't walked in these things for years. And even though I know what the Word says, and you know, you have to train your senses not to override your faith in what God's Word says, because that's the ultimate authority. It sure does help when you see and hear stories of other people who have walked through that valley and have walked successfully, and God has seen them through to the other side. And what they have prayed for, what they have prayed for according to the Word, God has done. And I just, you know, those of you that have sent in testimonies and whatnot, I just thank you so much, because it has been a blessing to me. And so I pray that these will be a blessing to you. But Christy and I met out in Rapid City, South Dakota, back in 2007. I was out on tour, and a church, a large church, at the very last minute, canceled a concert. And the Rapid City Christian Singles Group invited me in to do a concert. Christy was part of that. And it was, you know, I got in, and I was really tired, and I'm more of an introverted person. A large amount of people for a long extended period of time pretty much tends to wear me out. And I had been on the road for a month, seeing nothing but strangers, staying with people in their houses, and I was really tired. And I got to Rapid City, and I was expecting just a couple of days of off time to recharge the batteries. And I got a call from the lady that actually scheduled the concert, and she said, "We have a really big surprise for you tonight. I'm taking you to dinner, and I'm inviting two young ladies to come along with us," which I was not very excited to hear at the time. But nonetheless, we went that night, and Christy and I met that night, and it wasn't one of those things where when you meet somebody, you just love at first sight, you know, gushy puppy dog, I'm in love type thing. It was just one of those things where I was like, you know, this girl seems to put Jesus first in her life, and she seems to have a relationship with God, unlike a lot of people that I come in contact with on the road. And I got back out to my car that night, and I felt the Lord leading me to get to know her better. And I had one of those conversations with God that you regret later. I said, "Lord, are you sure about this? She lives all the way in South Dakota. I live in Virginia." As if God were up there with his maps saying, "Well, thank you for showing me that, Jason. You know, I appreciate that." You know, God knows we don't. And so I ended up emailing Christy. We talked on the phone some about a lot of deep issues. And she comes, and so did I, from a very traditional church background that does not lend itself very greatly to a lot of the things discussed and talked about on this broadcast and in lots of ministries that I respect now. So we had a lot of stuff to talk through, a lot of stuff to go over, and a lot of scriptures to compare and theological discussions. And after the dust settled, we got married in January of 2008 out in Rapid City. Christy played violin in the symphony out there, and she moved back to Virginia with me in January, and we began a ministry life together, and playing concerts and ministering all over the country. We spent about 190 days on the road last year, traveling all over, and it was great, but very tiring. And we saw the Lord work some pretty amazing things to us to encourage us our first year of marriage. And one of those things, we were on tour out in Ohio, and we stopped to play at this little coffee house that their ministry is to homeless people to come in to have a free place to stay, to offer them dinners, and just a great group of people who are servants. And we were scheduled to do a concert that night, and a group of guys from Knoxville, Tennessee, had a show they had canceled, and so they came into that place. They had been there several times before, and they wanted to know if they could play with us that night. We said sure. So they brought out their acoustic guitars, and we shared the stage with them that night and did a concert together. There was a tip jar out there, and we got a very small amount of money for playing that night, and we both felt we needed to give them some money for gas to get home. We talked to one of their guys, and we gave him $20 for gas, and we were supposed to stay that night in the coffee house upstairs on the floor, no mattress, no sleeping bag, just basically on the floor. And a guy came in that night and really liked the music, and he was like, "Where are you guys staying?" We told him. He said, "Well, how about if you come home with me? My wife is out of town, but I have a downstairs basement king-size bed that you're more than welcome to stay in. It's going to be better than staying in the coffee house." So that was blessing number one. And we had just been married about 2 months at this time, 3 months. We had been on the road. That was our first day of tour. And we got to his house, and the next morning as we were preparing to leave, and again, this is something that as I tell it, I know it's not the earth-shattering thing that it was to me at the time, but you know, I was basically in tears as I walked out of the guy's house. The guy came up to me and he said, "You know, really enjoyed the music last night. The spirit spoke to me," and he put his hand in mine and he placed a $20 bill in my hand. He said, "This is for gas to get you to the next show you're doing," and you know, just for God to be that gracious, that kind to replenish $20 for us. The very first day of that tour, because we were going to be out on the road in our little car for a month and a half, and it's going to be a long, long month and a half, and it was just a huge faith builder for us, and it was just the Lord's graciousness to do that for us. And because we can take a break and do a station ID if you want to.
Sure, we can do that. I just want to say that you know, Jason and Christy have their albums on our site. They freely given them to those that want to download them off of our site, and we just appreciate them so much. They've freely given, and you're certainly welcome to freely give unto them. I just wondered, Jason, if you could tell people a way they could do that to support your ministry.
Sure. We have an address in Virginia. It's just a P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 7021, Ettrick, Virginia. It's Ettrick. And the zip code there is 23803. So if anyone wants to bless us, that's how they can do it. It'd be appreciated, sure.
Amen.
Well, we tuned up again. We're going to play a few more songs and just share a little bit more with you. Thank you again for tuning in and listening. And this is a song here about God taking things that are broken and putting them back together and healing them and delivering them and using them for His glory, which He has done in my life, and I'm sure He's done in probably all of your lives. You know, it takes being broken sometimes, actually all the time. It takes being broken and humbled before God will use a person, unless we humble ourselves. And so this is a song called Broken Things. I hope you like this. This is, I guess, kind of a country-style tune here. So here we go. Moses took his staff to task, and David looked down on a bath. He looked again, not turning away. Peter said he'd never met someone that you just can't forget. He broke his Savior's heart for sure that day. And it's just like me to only see the giants in the land I can't defeat. I need to know that despite my failures, haven't thrown me out and turned away. And I'm reminded that you're
be more than his hair away for sure. Jonah ran away from God, Paul thirsted for the Christian's blood. Rahab, she was anything but pure. And it's just like me to only see the giants in the land I can't defeat. I need to know that despite my failure, haven't thrown me out and turned away. Dad, remind me that your love is greater. Choices made for which I am ashamed. I'm so glad that you have a useful broken thing.
Share with you a couple more exciting things that God's done for us last year. I've been doing Christian music for about 7 or 8 years, and when I first started, the whole idea, just as much to minister, just as much to see souls saved, was to make a living at it and to become one of the premier artists in Christian music. And my sister and I spent a lot of money recording CDs. We spent a lot of money on promotion, and we did it. I'm not going to sell us short and say we didn't have good desires for it, because we totally did. But at the same time, the desires of the flesh, the lusts of our eyes, the pride of life, we wanted to be rewarded for our efforts in ways that were, if you look at the Christian music industry today, you have a lot of many gods out there that are doing concerts, and while I'm not going to judge all their hearts, because I can't say what their hearts are like. Living in Nashville, being a part of that community, there was so much arrogance and pride from people that I'm sure I could say names and a lot of you would know them. It was sickening, and it was so easy to get into that and to believe yourself more than what you were. And part of I've been listening to a lot of folks on this broadcast talk about money, talk about how God has provided for them. And we went from the very first, when we first started doing music and traveling to churches, you know, a lot of times churches, when they invite you in to sing, if you don't ask for some large minimum amount of money, or put together the right kind of package to present yourself as something wonderful and great to the eyes and appealing, they won't have you in. We saw I saw my heart change a lot in the past few years as to how the Lord was leading me to deal with the money aspect of our ministry. And you know, we started out asking for a certain amount of money. Then the Lord dealt with me about that and said, I want you to to ask for a certain amount of money, a lower amount, and then we did that. And so the Lord has basically been dealing with me over the past few years as far as how to His provision. And it's been a very long, laborious process, and He has had to remind me constantly of His provision, because in the flesh, it's always so easy to get weak-kneed and think that God's not going to come through for you. And last year when we were on tour, we were out again for a month and a half out on the road, traveling from church to church to church. And it was a very large church in Nebraska. Had said, we want you to come. They said, how much do you need to come? And I said, well, I prefer not to do numbers. And they said, well, give us something. So I gave them a number, and they said, okay, it's done. About 2 weeks before the concert, the same church that canceled on me, that enabled me to meet my wife, they canceled on me again 2 weeks prior to us leaving for this tour. And I didn't handle it very well. I got very upset. I asked the Lord why in the world this would happen. And we were scheduled to do a concert for them on a Saturday night, and then to stay over and then to sing a couple of songs in their morning service. And it was a very large church of about 800 to 900 people. And finally they said, okay, well, we're not going to cancel completely. We'll have you on Sunday morning, but we're going to basically cut what we give you by a third, by two-thirds. And I said, Lord, I don't understand how we're going to make this. And He didn't say anything to me. And we got to the church and we played. And that day after we played, this guy walked up to me. He was a Marine, and he had a very serious look on his face, and he was very, very intense. And he said, man, when you guys were playing in there, the Spirit just moved me. He said, it was just pure worship. He said, I was ministered to, and the Lord told me to give you something. I said, okay. He said, can you come out to my truck with me? I said, sure. So we walked out. I walked out with him. And he said, I've been selling high-end guitars for the past couple of years to make extra money. And this one guitar won't sell. And the Lord told me to give it to you and to do what you will with it. And it was an electric guitar that was a very, very pricey electric guitar. And I don't really play much electric. I play more acoustic guitar. And I felt the Lord saying to sell it. So we sold it. And the amount of money that I sold it for was to the dollar the exact amount of money that that church had originally agreed to give us to come. And God has done so many things like that over the past few years to try to break me from relying on my own, relying on the flesh to provide for me. He has been so gracious with me again. But this is not one of those huge things, but at that time, it was just one of those moments where we had to fall on our face before God and repent. I had to repent of my attitude. I had to repent of bitterness. I had to repent of several things that had crept in, and the Lord was so gracious to teach me that lesson. And I'm sure a lot of you out there can identify with God doing these awesome things for you in your life. And I'll just tell you a couple more. Christy, all of her belongings in South Dakota stayed locked up in storage for the first 10 months of our marriage. We moved back to Virginia and moved in with my parents, and we were gone basically the whole first 8 to 9 months of our marriage, traveling all over the country. So it didn't seem right to have a place at that time. And after a few months, you know, we both really knew that we needed our own place to live, and we were asking God, when are you going to provide us a place? And we kept praying about it and praying about it and praying about it. And we looked through all the classifieds trying to figure out where God wanted us to live. We felt in our heart that God wanted us to move a little further out in the country to prepare for what was coming down the road for us. And about an hour outside of Richmond is a little teeny podunk town that I would have never in a million years wanted to live in, because I'm more of a city guy. I've never really lived that far out in the country. And a lady who had talked to us about renting one of her properties, she sent me an email and she said, I have a friend who has a rental property that I think is empty right now. And they're very good people. It's a very nice place and it's very inexpensive, but it's in this town. I'm going to send her an email, and I'm giving her email address to email her about it. So I emailed this lady, and Christy and I took the long drive out out to this town, and it was literally on a farm, about as bad for a country guy, for a city guy, as you can get being on a farm. Drove up the driveway, and I could just tell in my spirit that this was of God, but I was not wanting to admit it. And we got into the house, and the lady met us at the door. Older lady, her and her husband are farmers. They're Christians. When they found out we were Christians, they were ecstatic. And I could see Christy walking through the house, looking at all of the vacant place and the cupboard space, and I could just tell she was falling in love with the place. And I was like, oh, no. And so I got in the back bedroom. You know, and this is where, you know, I can get kind of emotional because God was so gracious to me. But I said, Lord, this is one of those times I need an answer from you. I need it now. If you want us to have this house, if this is the one that you've been waiting to give us, please tell me. It's a very simple prayer. And I walked back out to the hallway, and the lady was standing there. Her name is Geraldine, sweet lady. And she said, you know, funny thing, I hadn't checked my email in 3 months, and the day that you sent me your email, I checked it. God must want you here or something. I said, okay, Lord, we'll move. And we moved to into that house in December. And Christy still had all of her stuff in Rapid City. And the charge to move it out to Virginia was going to be about $5,000, $4,000 or $5,000. And the moving companies weren't being very flexible. We didn't know how we were going to get all of her stuff out there. She was, you know, she had basically lived without all of her worldly possessions for a year and had, you know, been so kind about it, so gracious. And finally, one night, she was laying there almost asleep, and she just sat up in bed, I believe, and said something. She said, the Lord, I think there's a guy that lives in Lynchburg. He goes to Liberty. He's from my hometown. Maybe he'll drive the stuff back for us. She said, I think God gave it to me. I said, okay. So she called him. And sure enough, he was coming back to South Dakota for Christmas, and he was more than willing to hook a trailer up to his truck and drive all of Christie's stuff back to Virginia for 1/10 of the price that we would have paid a moving company. And you know, it's just when you see things like that and God doing things like that, it just builds your faith. And
amen.
We had I've wanted a dog for the past 5 years, and this is something that's silly, I know, but God even does these things for us that maybe are silly. But I wanted a dog for 5 years, and I love golden retrievers. And the people that we're renting from, they live right next door to us. And the day that we moved in, the week that we moved in, their dog they had for, it looked like he was about 112 years old, he finally passed. And they came home the next day with a brand new golden retriever puppy. So now I have a dog living right next to me that I can basically hang out with anytime I want to that I don't have the responsibilities to take care of. So God was so great to give me a dog, and we're gonna play another song. This is a song about resting in God's power. The song's called Rest.
Child you are, and
till it all makes sense. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Well, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The heavy load you carry is not held by your own might. So give it all to me and then take refuge in my arms. I'll keep you safe from harm. Come to me, put your worries in my hands. I will be your chair when you can't stand. I'll hold you like the child you are till it all makes sense. Come unto me, I'll give you
to tell one more story and maybe read one more scripture, and then we'll be done with our part of the broadcast tonight. But we had the opportunity to go to Tennessee a few months ago and minister with I know a lot of you heard Michael Boldea on the broadcast a couple weeks ago. Well, the guy that travels with him, Gino Schmidt, we got to meet him. He's a singer-songwriter and great singer, great songwriter. And he was doing a series of meetings in Tennessee, a small group of people who were hungering and thirsting after God. And you have to understand in the churches that we came out of, we really didn't see very often the Holy Spirit move in such a way as to share with someone a word from the Lord or give someone a prophecy. So when those things happen around us or to us, it is so exciting for us because we're just not used to it. And it's something that we are finding out more and more about. And it's something that when you hang around with people who believe the word as the word says, and you're going to experience and be exposed to such things, and it's a blessing, which is part of the reason we were so excited about coming down here to fellowship with people who just believed the word for what it was and God used. And so we were in Tennessee, and we shared a little bit of what God had done in my life and played some songs, and it was just a small group of people in someone's living room. And the guy that was kind of holding the meetings, he gave me a scripture the evening after I spoke, and he said the Lord kind of just told me to write this down and give this to you. And it was from Joel, and the scripture was, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. my great army, which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And after he gave me that, I sat down and I read it, and you know, because the locusts had taken a lot from me. The Lord sent a great many devourers to me to turn me from sin. And that night, as we went back to the house that we were staying, I was reading a little pamphlet that the pastor's wife had given me, written by David Wilkerson. And as I read it that night, on the second page of the pamphlet, that same verse was in that pamphlet I was reading. So a second time in 4 hours, the Lord gave me that verse. And the very next morning, Christy was reading a book that they had given her. And that same verse was in there. So 3 times in 12 hours. And I don't believe that God does things accidentally. And it was just one of those moments where I knew the Lord was speaking. I knew the Lord was assuring me of his faithfulness to deliver, to heal, to manifest all that the Word says that he has purchased for us. And I encourage you, those of you listening, whatever trial that you're in, whatever thing the Lord is leading you through, if you will believe the promises of the Lord and do not doubt and stand with a full assurance of the victory that he's already provided, you will see the manifestation on the other side. The enemy, Satan, will try to convince you every way possible that you won't. But just as one more testimony, Christy, over Christmas, over Thanksgiving, she developed a wart on her finger. It got infected. It smelled. It was nasty. It hurt. It just got absolutely huge. And we prayed and prayed and prayed and didn't see any change. I emailed David here and the group prayed for Christy. And basically, again, all of the doctor's manual said, if you don't get this thing taken care of medically, you're in for some very, very bad results. It's not going to heal on its own. And all of a sudden, one day, she said, it doesn't smell anymore. And the next day, the drainage stopped. And the next day, the wart began to shrink. And while it's still visible, it has gotten about, it's lost 2/3 of its size. And we are claiming by faith that it's going to be completely gone, because that's what we prayed for. And the Word says, whatever things you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have them. So we're standing in faith for this. And if nothing else, I pray that you've been encouraged tonight to stand in faith for the things the Lord has already promised you, and not let the enemy rob you of the victory that God has already given you. And we just appreciate the opportunity to come and share, to be on the broadcast, and pray blessings on you. And thank you, David, and thanks, everyone, for letting us share.
Oh, I hope you'll continue. God bless you. Well, could you give us one more time that address so that the folks could support your ministry?
Sure. It's P.O. Box 7021. Ettrick, Ettrick, Virginia, 23803.
And don't you have a website?
I do, yes. It is basically jasonburtonmusic.com.
You have to speak closer to the mic.
Okay. Sorry. The web address is www.jasonburtonmusic.com. And there you can listen to songs and email us and find out what we're playing and all that good stuff.
Amen. Praise God. Are you sure you won't just play a couple more songs?
We can.
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
We love it. Go ahead.